Hello and welcome to our third podcast. This podcast is going to be mostly about hot topics from SAEM. And we are joined today with the cast of characters from before. My name is Anwar Osborne. We're all from Emory. I am a medical director of an observation unit at Emory University Hospital Midtown. I'm joined by my esteemed colleagues, Dr. George Leach, Dr. Michael Ross, and Dr. Matthew Wheatley. And today we are fortunate enough to have a very special guest. This young lady has worked on... Can I call you young? No? You're not that old yet. But we've worked with her closely in the observation medicine section here at Emory University Hospital at main campus and at Emory University Hospital at Midtown. And she's worked extensively on observation education. Her name is Rachel O'Malley, and she'll be going to greener pastures very soon. However, she is our guest today because we believe she is well-versed in issues of observation education. At SAM this year, I went, and there were many members from the Observation Medicine Interest Group present. We talked about several things that I guess they would be hot topics, maybe not, but we wanted to touch on several of them here and kind of share with the audience what was kind of said. One of the issues was observation education. So maybe, Mike, can you give us a kind of a background of where observation education was and where you think it could go in the future?
Sure. Gosh, I think it was back in almost 5 years ago or so, maybe more. Bill Barson, who is then president of the American Board of Emergency Medicine, had a created two task forces to look at innovations in emergency medicine. One was ultrasound, the other one was observation medicine. He pulled together a consensus group of experts who wrote a white paper on observation medicine and it's in a curriculum for emergency medicine with the goal of it being endorsed by all the emergency medicine organizations, ASAP, SAEM, CORD, many others. It was written, and really in the ninth inning, there are a few of the players that wanted to adjust the document to the point that it lost its impact, and it kind of fell off the wayside. And it's unfortunate because the ultrasound paper went through, and the observation medicine paper really kind of faltered for a while. And really, it's only recently that Rachel has picked up the lead on writing this curriculum paper and taking it to the next level.
So maybe you can give us like a broad strokes overview of what would be in an observation medicine curriculum for education of residents or students or...
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Basically, an observation curriculum, you know, is just as important as any other subspecialty of emergency medicine. Just as Mike Ross touched on ultrasound, observation medicine is a subspecialty of emergency medicine that needs to have its own curriculum. Even if the residency doesn't have observation units, the graduating residents are very likely to come into this in their clinical practice. So it's very important that they get the education they need during residency to be able to manage and work in these observation units.
I mean, I think that right there is a great point. And George, you know, because you worked out in the community for, well, not a community, it was another center, but graduates who leave a lot of times call back for reference. They want to know, like, what our materials were. And so you go out in the community, and a lot of times, like, either if it's not a feather in your hat, it's almost expected that you know how to navigate an OBS unit.
We were in a place where I worked last year where I worked in a community hospital in Wilkesboro, and there was movement toward actually opening up a chest pain unit there. Not many people have much experience with observation medicine, and the staff that was working the ED regarding the physicians. Some of the younger ones did because they were graduates of surrounding residency programs. and they have some observation medicine in their curriculums. But there really is, if I had stayed out at this place in the future as they move toward opening a unit where they could start ruling out chest pain patients and potentially stressing these, that's, I'm not exactly sure where they were potentially running with who would manage it, but it would be a big boon to your career to be on that short list of candidates that could potentially do that as a graduate from an emergency medicine program in the future.
I think that brings up a really important point too, that the most recent data shows that the number of observation units are increasing. And along with this increase in observation units, the number of units that are actually managed by the emergency department and emergency department personnel are increasing as well. So this is something that's going to be seen more and more often by our emergency medicine residency graduates.
That's a great point. In order for our subspecialty to thrive, we have to have residents come out and do fellowships and be involved and be the medical director, because there's the medical directors who are directing OBS units now are being asked to do a lot of different things. And
speaking as someone who was born before 1980, I can say that really this is critical to the viability of emergency medicine. This is really, it's a job skill that is integral to emergency medicine. Residents learn how to learn ultrasound. Now, they may go to a program that doesn't have ultrasound machines or doesn't do ultrasound, but that's a skill that they need to have. A third of hospitals have observation units, and more than half of hospitals with residencies have observation units. And so really, this is, it's a cognitive skill that residents have to know how to manage these patients. It's shared by other specialties, which is fine, but it's a skill that really has to be in the toolkit of any practicing emergency physician coming out of residency.
I think you could also argue that the being well-versed in observation medicine also gives emergency medicine residents and graduates a better sense of the overall appropriateness for care, too. It gives them a situation where they can follow patients along, these patients that they think have chest pain significant enough to warrant an observation stay where they otherwise would lose autonomy of that patient's visit, gives them an opportunity to follow that through and get a sense of how stress testing works, what's being done after the ER visit, how you manage those patients depending on what comes back. And it's not only for chest pain, but that's the case for a lot of other conditions like TIA, and you know, the list goes on. So even from an educational standpoint, it's really important to know what happens to your patient right after they go out of the ER, and observation medicine curriculums accomplish that.
So maybe, Rachel, you can give us an kind of a broad strokes picture what a curriculum might look like for observation education.
Well, I definitely think it should be something that's longitudinal throughout the entire residency and the career of the resident. It should start off in the beginning from day one. They should get an introduction to observation medicine so they can start to understand what patients would be appropriate for observations and who would not be. So when they're on their clinical shifts in the ER, they can start to look at their patients and say, would this patient need inpatient or observation? They can start to figure out, based upon the inclusion and exclusion criteria, why or why not the patient would be appropriate for observation. And this is just the beginning to them starting to understand the whole process of a patient who goes through observation status with this in the emergency department. The curriculum should be composed of multiple components, not only the clinical skills that they would get from being in the emergency department and placing patients in the observation unit, but also from rounding in the unit. And as they progress in their residency, they should be actively involved in the observation unit and rounding in it, and be involved with the observation medicine team there so that they can further understand what goes on once their patients are placed in the observation unit. And then they, as they progress to the end of their residency, they really should have mastered a set of skills that makes them feel competent that when they're done with residency, they can go out and work in an observation unit or even run or manage an observation unit based upon their own personal preference and set of skills. The curriculum should also have, you know, didactic portions as well. These should be taught by the attendings who are most familiar with observation medicine, and hopefully there are some observation medicine experts on your clinical faculty to assist in educating the residents in this. These can be done as lectures, not only to complement the core lectures that the residents also have, but individual lectures so that the resident really gets a firm grasp of what is special about observation medicine and the observation patient as well.
Let me ask you a quick question. Do we know the number of training programs that have like an observation unit present in a hospital that has a training site?
It seems like the last numbers, it was about 50%. And of the residency program directors that were surveyed, the majority, I think over 80% to 90%, felt that it was very important that the residents had observation medicine education. However, not as many residency programs do have this curriculum in place. And I think that that's very important. The program directors recognize that there is a need for their residents to have this education, but given that it's a kind of a new and novel curriculum, what I think is important about defining an observation medicine curriculum is that it gets out to the program directors and kind of gives you a starting ground to jump off of.
Mm-hmm. That's.
It also makes the program very attractive to residents. I mean, we have a strong observation medicine residence here, and it's one of the selling points of our residency.
An ancillary benefit, too, is that they can use their observation experience to do research or CQI projects and take care of their RRC requirements. In those regards, we've actually seen a lot of interest among our residents in obs medicine research and quality improvement initiatives in our various shops here at Emory.
You know, this is a crossover area that crosses between emergency medicine and other primary care specialties like hospital medicine, internal medicine, which is fine. But it's really clear from the research and the healthcare policy work that's been done in this area that it's firmly implanted in emergency medicine.
So thank you so much. The other topic that came up at SAM's observation interest group was the idea of a conference. And Mike wasn't there, and I took the liberty of speaking for him and telling everyone that putting on a conference is difficult. Yeah, can you give us a summary of our last conference and maybe some thoughts of where you think our next one should go?
Yeah, you know, conferences are, I compare conferences to theater because it's really, it's a performance. There's a lot of build up and production, and then there's the big show, and it's a one-time shot. And really, good conferences are a good part of it's the delivery, but also the content. And there's certainly a lot of content to be delivered, and there's certainly an interest in the content. We've done two observation medicine conferences here at Emory. Each conference attracted about 150, almost 200 attendees. And what you know, it's fascinating that they were from all over the country, mostly physicians, although about a third were nurses. And most people were interested in setting up and running an observation unit, although some were interested in refining the unit that they had. It's probably, we're probably looking at putting on a conference in the next year or so. But it's, again, a matter of gauging the interests of the at the time and the getting the thought leaders and experts to come and speak.
That's a good point. And currently, there's a number of private conferences that people can go to. And generally, these conferences are more expensive than, say, an SAEM conference or an ASAP conference.
Previously, the Society of Chest Pain Centers endorsed the conference that we put on, and the American College of Emergency Physicians endorsed the conference. And that could happen in the future. ASAP has had a lecture on observation medicine at their scientific assembly, and the Society of Chest Pain Centers has also had tracks on observation medicine. But what's really needed is, as you indicated, is a whole one-day course.
So sum it up. We talked about some observation education, talked about maybe having a conference soon, and so that's a lot for one podcast. I would also like to thank Margarita Pena from St. John's, and she sent a nice email saying that she likes the podcast. Thank you so much. And next time, we'll have more exciting observation medicine discussion. Feel free to email any of us. My email is adosbor@emory.edu, and you can send us a topic, and hopefully soon we'll start to Skype some other experts in once we start to get the technology part of this thing right. And if you don't have OBS, you have a problem.